ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओके, रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृता ऑफ कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी, मध्य लीला, चैप्टर 22, टेक्स्ट 131, ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिव Yeah, 131. Yeah. Translation commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavata Arthanam Asvadaha Rasikai Saha Sajatiya Ashaye Snigdhe Sadhau Sangaha Svataha Vare Srimad Bhagavatartanam Asvado Rasikai Saha Sajatiya shaye snigdhe Sadho sangha svato vare Srimad bhagavatartanam Asvado rasikai saha Sajatiya shaye snigdhe Sadhau sangha svato vare Srimad bhagavatartanam Asvado rasikai saha Sajatiya shaye snigdhe Sadho sangha svato vare Translation. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, and one should associate with the devotees who are more advanced than oneself and who are endowed with a similar type of affection for the Lord. Purport. The words sajati ashaye snigde sadho sangha svatovare are very important. One should not associate with professional Bhagavatam reciters. A professional Bhagavatam reciter is one who is not in the disciplic succession or one who has no taste for bhakti yoga. Simply on the strength of grammatical knowledge and word jugglery, professional reciters maintain their bodies and their desires for sense gratification by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. One should avoid One should also avoid those who are averse to Lord Vishnu and his devotees, those who are Mayavadis, those who offend the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, those who simply dress as Vaishnavas or so-called Goswamis, and those who make a business by selling Vedic mantras and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to maintain their families. One should not try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam from such materialistic people. According to the Vedic injunctions, yasya deve para bhaktihi, the Srimad Bhagavatam can be recited only by one who has unflinching faith in the lotus feet of Krishna and his devotee, the spiritual master. One should try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam from the spiritual master. The Vedic injunction states, Bhaktya Bhagavatam grahyam na buddhya na chatikaya. One has to understand Srimad Bhagavatam through the process of devotional service and by hearing the recitation of a pure devotee. These are the injunctions of the Vedic literature, Shruti and Smriti. Those who are not in the disciplic succession and who are not pure devotees cannot understand the real mysterious objective of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita. It's something seems somewhat unusual with the sun well up and burning hot. The moon is still well up in the sky also. A little unusual. Anyway, that's not the subject of this class. We can talk about the moon, Krishna Chandra, Gaura Chandra, but that's not exactly what I'm going to speak on now. So this verse featured in Chaitanya Charitamrita is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's included as being spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so it may be an ancient verse also. Anyway, the gist of it is that one should taste the meanings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Taste means it's like nectar. Amrita Drava Sangyutam. The rasik devotees at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the rasik devotees are enjoined to relish this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of rasika bhaktas. So rasika means those who are enjoying the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, those who take pleasure. Rasika bhakta means not like the crows who are interested in mundane topics, but like the devotees who like to hear about Krishna and relish the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one should associate with, this is not separate, because the rasik devotees, which type of rasik devotee is being said, to associate with sadhus, devotees, who are of the same disposition as oneself, who have affection in their hearts. Snigdha. It literally means liquid like oil. So it's not solid and hard. And who are more advanced than oneself. So this is the particularly who we should associate with. Of course, the general injunction is to associate with devotees. And there are many different levels. Well, there are three main levels of devotees: the beginner, the intermediate, and the topmost. There are pure devotees, there are mixed devotees whose motives are mixed with karma, jnana, or yoga. There are devotees who are still much influenced by the mode of ignorance. There are devotees who are still much influenced by the mode of passion. There are devotees who are largely influenced by the mode of goodness. And there are pure devotees who are beyond the three modes of material nature. So there, for a start, are various categories of different kinds of devotees. Of course, we welcome all devotees, and Srila Prabhupada was stated by one astrologer that he can build a house in which the whole world can live. So there are so many different kinds of personalities who take to devotional service. And we should welcome all kinds. We may target certain types. We may want to preach to intellectuals, but or whatever. But whoever takes to devotional service, Jai Gauranga Naam Loi, Tara Hoi Prema Doi, Tare Mui Jai Bali Hari, whoever chants the name Gauranga, in his heart arises love of Krishna, and Narottam Das congratulates such a person. So they're all different kinds of devotees. We may not get much choice regarding our association, as Satsarup Maharaj wrote somewhere in his voluminous writings, that being in ISKCON with devotees, we might associate with people who their personality and their character is not so much to our taste. And if I hadn't joined this movement, I wouldn't associate with such kinds of people. But as their devotees were all together. And living in the temple especially, we, of course, there are standards for living in the temple. One has to rise early, follow the principles, and dedicate fully to Krishna consciousness. But we don't get much choice who we associate with, especially when the number of devotees living in the temple is less than 10, as you have here in your situation, isn't it? Well, it's flexible because devotees are coming and going. Now, two devotees went out for 2 weeks and they'll come back and then someone else will go out. So, but it's a small number. If you're at a big institution like Bhaktivedanta Manor, or a Lachu or a Mayapur, where there's so many devotees, Vrindavan, then you get more choice who you can associate with. Or even if you're a congregational devotee, there are about 200 devotees in the congregation, I'm informed, here in Zagreb. So those you want to mix with more, you get more choice. So there are various points mentioned here that the devotees who are affectionate to us, naturally we like to associate with those who are affectionate to us. Snigdha, affectionate. That's even a name, especially that's a girl's name in India. Snigdha, one who's very affectionate. That name is given. Gaukishodas Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't a very pleasant disposition. If anyone asked him for initiation, he'd beat them with his umbrella. For instance, he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't preaching Krishna consciousness. He preached in his own way, he wasn't a Goshtyananda. He wasn't one who sought to increase the number of devotees. He was a Bhajanananda. One major reason that Srila Prabhupada was able to be successful in preaching was because he was of pleasant disposition. So many devotees, we hear the memories of Srila Prabhupada spoken by his disciples and others, and the majority of them will say that what really endeared Srila Prabhupada to them and what attracted them was Srila Prabhupada was so loving and kind, and many would say he was just like a father to me. So that was Srila Prabhupada, and it wasn't that he was trying to be affectionate so that people would join, but he was naturally very affectionate. We ourselves, we may have to remind each other from time to time to deal with each other in a Vaishnav manner and be kind to others and this and that, but for Srila Prabhupada it came naturally. And of course his kindness didn't always come in just smiling. As I was talking about yesterday, Srila Prabhupada pushed the devotees very hard. Sometimes he would be very heavy with devotees, very strong in chastisement. But mostly the devotees, in almost all cases, devotees accepted it because they knew that it was when Srila Prabhupada was chastising them, it was verbal chastising, not physical. I don't know any instance of physical chastisement, but he did so in a manner. It was the chastisement of a parent, not the chastisement of an enemy. It was done for the, it was understood, it was clear that Prabhupada was doing that for the welfare of the devotee involved. And therefore, that also became an aspect of his affection. I recorded this in that book, The Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, that quite some years ago, one traditional Madhva Brahmana, we visited, he called us to his home and they were having some ceremony there, part of which was reciting Vishnu Sahasranama. And he told me, I'm so grateful to my father who forced me to learn Vishnu Sahasranama. He used to beat me if I didn't recite every day or if I didn't recite properly. So he was very grateful to his father that he has this treasure in his life, the ability to recite from heart Vishnu Sahasranama, and obviously he has a taste for doing so. Now what this same disposition means, Rasikai Saha, Srimad Bhagavatartanam Asvado Rasikai Saha, same disposition as oneself. Sajati Asha. Sajata literally means born from the same source. So one's desires come from the same source. So that suggests disciples of the same guru. And especially, not only that, but it's in relation to rasa. Because different devotees, they'll relish the Srimad Bhagavatam in different ways. According to their asha, according to their ultimate aspiration. So some devotees may be aspiring to be gopis in Vrindavan. Some may be aspiring to be cows in Vrindavan. We don't find so many like that. Some may be aspiring to be cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Some may aspire to serve Lord Rama in Ayodhya. They'd be more likely to study Ramayana than Srimad Bhagavatam, generally. Or some may be aspiring to serve Lord Narayana in the Vaikuntha planet. So they may aspire to serve Krishna in Dwaraka. So there are different rasas. And this verse suggests that those devotees who aspire to join Krishna in his rasa dance as gopis, when they read Srimad Bhagavatam, they will be especially inspired by certain sections, and others who are more aspiring to be cowherd boys, they will more relish certain other sections. Now, of course, this is a very high level. We may not be on that level of what am I aspiring for, Dasya Ras or Sakya Ras or Madhurya Ras, or whether I want to serve ultimately in Dwaraka or Vrindavan, or we may not be on that level. This verse appears to be pitched at that level, but it is a consideration for us also, because naturally we like to associate with the kind of devotees who we can relate with very well and who have similar aspirations. So at our level, there may be personal characteristics of different devotees that we are particularly attracted to because we have similar desires in devotional service. Naturally, devotees are very scholarly. They like to come together and they may discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and various philosophical topics. Some devotees are very much into music, chanting and music, so they gravitate toward associating with each other. Some devotees are very much into deity worship, so they like to associate with each other. Their service will bring them together, and then when even they discuss, they'll discuss according to their disposition. Maybe not all the time or every time, but naturally pujaris will like to discuss how to dress the Lord, bringing different flowers, trying to inspire others to donate for serving the Lord, and so on. So naturally, these kind of devotees will gravitate towards each other. Some devotees may be very much into japa, chanting a lot of rounds. Some devotees are really into going on parikrama and Vrindavan. Some are into padyatra, so many things. Then there may be even culturally or politically, there certainly are different approaches among devotees. There may be what we call conservative or liberal outlooks. Some devotees are very much into family values. Some of you just give all that up, renounce. There are others who may take that role. Some devotees are very much into health and exercise and yoga. Well, that's not really devotional, is it? But it's a backup. We also need in this age where people, most people in the developed world, they spend, well, much of their life imbibing poison in the form of the air they breathe, the food they eat, the water they drink. So at some point in time, many people, not just devotees, become very interested in how to fix their bodies up. And devotees are interested in how to keep their body healthy for serving Krishna, some more than others. Some are not interested. Some are very neglectful of their body. That's another extreme. But then devotees, they may see, oh, there's this plant here. Oh, yeah, see that? This can be used for this and that. Yesterday, the other day, we were talking, just seeing some weeds growing. That, oh, this can be used for this and that. Personality-wise, some may be very withdrawn. Some may be very joking nature. So we may like to associate with devotees. And actually, it's not necessarily that two devotees of joking nature, they may tend to come together, but others also may gravitate to them because you like to be around jolly people. We may like to gravitate to people who make to devotees who are particularly concerned with looking after the devotee welfare, very concerned about developing good qualities. We may want to associate with, definitely book distributors like to associate with each other, inspire each other like that. And there may be other factors which are not really so much devotional, but it's just a reality that devotees of the same age group may like to associate with each other more. We find that often if an older person tries to join our ashram full time and then they're just young devotees, they find it very difficult to relate to them. So that may be a factor also. Gender, generally the men associate with the men and the women with the women, and if someone's too eager to associate with the opposite gender, there's something wrong. We see in India that the Bengali devotees, wherever they go, they will find Bengali devotees, not just in India, but in Australia, America, they'll come together, own little group, not that they're inimical to others, but they like to talk in their own language and they have their own mentality, and it's the same of Oriyas. And in Mayapur we have the South Indian contingent, which is mostly Tamil. And so they have, by culture, they have their own outlook and mentality. Young mothers, they have the similar kind of challenges which they can understand, and they can also help each other, and then together they can associate with each other, oversee their children playing. It may be by status. If someone is very wealthy, then he may prefer to associate with devotees who are from a similar background of wealth. You don't get wealthy people in this country, hardly. Don't see a few, yeah. It's always fewer than the others, but at least in India, pretty much everywhere where our movement's somewhat developed, there are some devotees who are in the top 2 or 3% within the city of being wealthy, some devotees. And generally, the wealthy people, they come to our temples also. They visit as well as others. They visit. So these are material considerations, but they are factors in which we what we see devotees like to associate with each other according to that. At one time, some black body devotees in America wanted to start their own center. Prabhupada approved. Said, yeah, naturally they like to associate with each other because their culture is somewhat different. They relate to each other. Even their way of talking is somewhat different. So Prabhupada approved of that. He said, yeah, they can have a separate center in the same city, but they should be overseen by the GBC, just like any other center. So Prabhupada proved that. He said, birds of a flap, birds of a feather flock together. No doubt you have the same or a very similar saying in your language. So some of these may seem to, some of these considerations might seem to be just mundane, but they do factor in to the who we like to associate with. Like I say, the same disposition that's mentioned in this verse that particularly means that it appears to be particularly one's disposition according to devotees' aspiration for service in the liberated state. But here in our condition also, it is applicable. Now, that doesn't mean if we associate with one group that we don't like others or we can't associate with others at different times. And definitely in festivals, we all come together. In Harinam parties, we all come together. But those devotees who we particularly make friendship with, that we call particularly associating with them, particularly it's mentioned here, we should try to associate with devotees who are more advanced than ourselves. And we can learn, a wise person can learn things from anyone and everything. We find in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, the description of the 24 gurus, a pigeon, that can be a guru. Someone has a pigeon. Who's your guru? A pigeon. That sounds a bit strange, but not initiating guru but just that you can derive some lesson. The lesson from the pigeon is don't be attached to family life. From the osprey, it's another of the gurus from nature. Osprey, I don't know how to, it's a bird of prey that captures fish. So you must have that word in your language. In the Sanskrit it said kurari. So the bird, the osprey, No, baka is something different. That's a stork. You have storks here. Actually, I didn't see any here. You know, I didn't see any. Their population must be decreasing. You used to see more in mainland Europe. You don't see them in I didn't see big storks. Yeah. So buck is a stork. Actually, in Krishna book, it's translated as duck. But actually, it's a stork. So kurari is... So the osprey is flying in the sky with fish or some meat, and then a bigger bird comes and attacks the osprey because he wants to take the meat, so the osprey lets it go and saves his life. So you can learn from that also, that don't hold on to things to your own detriment. Know when to let go. So there may be so many kinds of gurus, and the point is that we may learn all kinds of things from all kinds of different sources, but particularly we want to associate with those devotees who we can learn from, not just from what they speak, but also by their behavior and their attitude and their affection. We learn, it rubs off on us. That's the saying, that if you associate with people, then their attitude rubs off on us. It's an English idiomatic usage, and that requires some discrimination. We should discriminate, and that's stated by Rupa Goswami elsewhere in his Upadeshamrita. Krishna iti yasya gir. What is it? Yeah. Anyway, I don't remember. Dikshasti chet parnati bis, and so on. Yeah. So one should associate with different devotees at different levels in different ways, which requires some discrimination. Should revise that verse. So we should see there are different levels, even devotees, if they're in the tamagun, if they're largely in tamagun, then their association will drag us down. We're supposed to associate with devotees But if they're in tamagun, and they'll drag us out, unless we're in tamagun also. But then those who are in tamagun, their association won't help each other. They have to come up. Or in rajagun, then that can be dovetailed in Krishna's service, but not very satisfactorily. Rajagun more or less keeps us on the material platform, material consciousness. Sattvagun helps us to elevate. And of course, pure devotees, they take us by their association. They take us all the way to the spiritual world. Therefore, tulayama lavena pina swargam napuna bhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashishaha. This verse comes twice in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which it's stated that going to the heavenly worlds or even getting liberated cannot be compared to getting even a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord who's there, who's an associate of the Lord. So what to speak of any lower worldly pleasures? In other words, association with devotees is most, of the highly advanced devotees, is most valuable. Now, of course, that association is not very easily available. It is available via their books. They live on in their teachings. As far as personal association, it may be very rare to get such association. But we should see what, if we're serious about advancement in devotional service, we should try to gravitate toward that kind of association which is going to help us advance. And don't feel obliged by, there may be social pressure on us, or that you have to associate with this group of devotees, but we should try to find that association. Of course, that doesn't mean we should just hop around from Brahmacharya should hop around from temple to temple to temple. Not like that. But, well, if you are going to join a temple, it makes sense to see that there are different standards and levels in various temples, and join in a center where the association is going to help you advance. Not that the association is going to just keep you at the same level or worse. Jiva Goswami, when he comments on this verse in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this verse I'm talking about, the Srimad Bhagavata Artanam, he uses the words tatsamana vasanadva, or those who have the same inner desires. One should associate with devotees who have the same inner desires. You could say that's somewhat general. And in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu itself, in the next verse, Rupa Goswami, he cites another verse. The verse, yasya yat sangati pungso, the verse spoken actually by Hiranyakashipu, it's given in the Nectar of Devotion, but the point is good, and Rupa Goswami cites it, that association, it is like, it's compared to a crystal. A crystal reflects the kind of light that goes in, comes out, or glass, I guess you could say. In those days, there wasn't glass, at least in India. But the kind of light that goes in comes out. So if you associate with, persons who have a certain kind of light, then that light will shine on us, and we'll get that also. If we come into the blue light, then we'll appear blue. If we come into yellow light, we'll appear yellow, and so on and so on and so on. At the highest level, that depends on what is our specific desire, prayojan. The general term is prem is our prayojan, pure love of God, but that prem is experienced and tasted in various ways. We want to get the association of devotees who nourish what desires we have in devotional service. We want the kind of association that will nourish those desires. Of course, we should first of all see that those desires are valid desires. Therefore, we have to associate with advanced devotees and not cultivate invalid desires in the name of devotion. That's a very, very big topic. At our level, especially all of you who are brahmacharis living in the temple, we want to get the association of devotees who are committed to serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. That we want, because the temples are not meant to be places for eating and sleeping, but for places where we go out to drop bombs in the form of books on the population. They're meant to be preaching centers, not sleeping centers. So we want the association of those who are dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's mission. You may know that among my good friends is Marindal Prabhu here in Europe, and he's a very, very different person to me. But we're good friends because we have the same outlook in many ways on Srila Prabhupada's mission. Not in all ways. If it was all ways, it would be boring also. But more or less, we have the same outlook. We know what's needed to be done. And we desire the association of devotees who are dedicated to fulfilling Prabhupada's mission. Not that, well, I'm not saying that everyone is... some devotees have other priorities. Just like young mothers, their priority must be looking after their children, not going out and distributing books. If you just gave birth to a baby, your priority should be to look after the baby. You could also distribute books. Maybe when you have to visit the nurse, or the nurse comes to visit you, something like that. Or you can distribute prasad, but not that the looking after the baby becomes subordinate to the book. The baby's lying at home crying and you're out distributing books. So their priorities have to be seen forever, and they will be different. They're serving Prabhupada's mission, yeah, by raising a child in Krishna consciousness, that's also there. But there are more, what we could say, are more direct ways also. So the idea, just like the light comes through the glass, so we have to be receptive also to receive that the devotion and the mood of devotion that's in their heart, that will naturally be expressed by in the activities of devotees, and the activities, the words, and the disposition, everything. And then we have to be open to imbibe that. And the blessings that come from those, they become very pleased if those devotees who are more advanced become very pleased if devotees who are junior want to imbibe the mood of devotion which they are cultivating, which they have received from their gurus. So that affection will naturally be there. In devotional service, naturally there's affection. It's a matter of love, ultimately. In all respects, it's a matter of love. So naturally, devotees will be very affectionate to those who are sincerely trying to imbibe devotion. Devotees are merciful. They're merciful means they receive the mercy from their merciful gurus, and they imbibe that quality because they, by association, they imbibe that quality, and naturally they want to pass it on to others. Now you may say, well, why would a more advanced devotee or a senior devotee want to associate with someone who's junior? If you say you try to associate with more advanced devotees, that means the advanced devotee, they also have to associate with less advanced. So they may say, no, I only want to associate with more advanced. But then the middle level devotee is advised not only to associate with more advanced devotees, but also to be merciful to the juniors. So it's not that if the more advanced devotee or those who have received a lot of mercy from devotees more advanced than themselves, He's not there saying, I'm not an associate with you. I have to advance and associate with more advanced devotees. But they want to give to others what they have received. So from the side of those devotees, it's not that they think, well, I'm giving my association. I'm here, I'm giving my association. They may not think like that. It's more like that, well, I received such a great gift from the devotees, my seniors, those who took the trouble to help me in my earlier devotional life and who are still doing so, either directly from this world or from there. They're back to Godhead and they're still helping me from there. Their service that they've received from their guru is to help me and others. And the service, they pass it on, that you have to try and help others also. As we have been held, we should try to help others. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote that in one letter, writing to devotees who distributed so many books. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased, and he wrote back that actually one cannot repay the debt to the spiritual master, but if you want to try to repay that debt, then you... There's the lady. Hello there. She's not smiling. No smile. No happiness. Well, I tried. So Prabhupada said, you try, then you preach vigorously like me. We can't repay the debt, but we have to try. We're always indebted. So that means we'll always remain the servant of the Vaishnavas. We're slaves and we won't get free. There's no price we can pay to free ourselves, nor do we want to be freed. We're very happy to be in the service of the devotees. So in this way, there's a flow of mercy. So there's a few words about associating with like-minded devotees. Any question about this?
Hare Krishna. My question is, it's obvious that we like to associate with like-minded people, and how to distinguish our, how to say, choice and tendency to fault-finding just because somebody is different.
We find fault with others because they're different.
How can we distinguish?
Because how can we distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, and or just different? That we have to do on the basis of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Understand what should be done and what should not be done. What should not be done, we should not encourage that. And if someone is determined to do that which should not be done, even if they're a devotee, then we'd be best advised to keep a distance, maybe a respectful distance. In kirtan, we can all come together. Even in kirtan, we may not like one to associate much with those who are very showy, making a show of themselves. And maybe the showy types, they may not like to associate with those who are not showy. Okay, so we'll finish there. Vanta kalpataru bhyas chakipas indu evacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.